The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those in my house." And Jesus said to them, "No one who puts a hand to the plow looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I invite young people of the congregation would like to have a little children's message to come forward. Anybody's interested? Okay, we do. Come on down here, girls. Have a right seat right here. Okay. All right. I need a volunteer. Okay, why don't you come stand up here? Okay, turn around this way. Give me your hands. Put them right like that, okay? Can you hold them there like that? Okay, just stay there. Keep looking forward. Don't look around. Not gonna hurt you. All right. Oh, we got somebody else. Okay, we got another one. All right. Boys and girls, you can see what I'm doing, but don't say anything. All right. Keep your hands together. Hold tight. All right. Right here. Okay. Not hurting you yet? No? Okay. All right. Should have remembered this from my days at the Boy Scouts. And tying a knot. There we go. All right, I think this will do. Okay. All right. So what's your name?
Michaela.
Michaela? Okay, Michaela, let me turn around and show everybody what I did. Okay, see what I did? Okay. Okay, Michaela, what I would like you to do is here. I have some keys. Can you pick them up? Really hard and difficult. Oh, you're good. You're very flexible. You would do much better than what I would do. But it's hard, isn't it? To do this, you're kind of bound. You're not really free to use your hands as you would like because I have them all tied up here. You're, you might say, a prisoner. Tied up, bond. Bondage sometimes is the word we use. Okay, in today's first reading, this is what St. Paul writes to his friends in Galatia and says, we are like this. We are bound up. We're trapped. We're enslaved. We're not free to always do what we want to do because of what Paul calls sin. Turn around. This is what sin does to us. It prevents us from doing what we want. We sin when we don't do what we should. We're victims of sin like this in freedom, and we're afraid, and we don't maybe do something that we want to do. We can't because we're stuck. Well, St. Paul says, God does something very special for us. God comes in Jesus and cuts the rope, sets us free in Jesus Christ from our bondage to things that we can't live up to our fears, to our mistakes. He sets us free. So now, in Jesus, we are free to use our hands to help others. Because that's what God wants us to do with our hands and our lives. So he sets us free in Jesus so that we can be free for others. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, boys and girls, let's everybody stand in a little circle here and let's say a little prayer together, okay? Everybody hold your hands. What we're going to do is we're going to do an echo prayer. Okay, and what you do is you repeat after me, okay? Okay. Close your eyes, bow your heads, let us pray. Good morning, God. Thank you for Jesus, who sets us free so we can be the people you want us to be. Free to help others. Thank you, God. Amen. Very good. Thank you, boys and girls. You can take your seats. Boys and girls, you're free, right? Okay. I'm new here today. One of the things I usually do to help people in the congregations I've served over the years to help kind of follow along with what I'm saying, which hopefully is clear, but maybe sometimes isn't always clear as it should be. It's a little half sheet in your bulletin this morning called the Sermon Summary. It's got the main points, but it's kind of reinforces what I'm going to be saying to you this morning. In a few days, our country will be celebrating the 4th of July, Independence Day, commemorating that day in 1776 when our founding fathers declared their independence and freedom from the tyranny of Mother England and that terrible King George. But this new birth of freedom needed to be protected. It needed to be given structure and form. So the founding fathers wrote the Constitution, ratified in 1787, some years later. The Constitution created laws that were intended to preserve the freedom won by our country. Because the founders believed that without such laws, our freedoms would quickly disappear in a maze of chaos and confusion. Society would literally disintegrate into a free-for-all. In today's second reading, St. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, says exactly the opposite. Paul says that for Christians, freedom is very different. True freedom means freedom from the law. The law is the yoke of slavery, says Paul. The law is the enemy of our freedom, and trying to preserve our Christian freedom with laws destroys the very freedom Christ has given us. Paul was writing to a Christian congregation where many felt that this freedom needed the protection of rules and regulations. These well-meaning Christians, many of whom were Jews, felt that those Gentiles who were becoming Christians were going to need to follow some rules of the Jewish ritual law, like circumcision. This Christian freedom needed to have some form and structure. Otherwise, God forbid, it would be just one big free-for-all. The Galatians said to Paul something like this. Oh, yes, Paul, it's surely great that Jesus died and set us free, but that is not enough. We need to show how serious we are about following him. Yes, Christ died for our sins, but it wasn't enough. We need something more. Christ plus something. Christ plus circumcision. Now, does this sound familiar? How many times have we not heard the same thing? But to really be saved, we need something more. Jesus plus. Jesus plus a sincere faith, plus a deep commitment, plus our fervent prayers, plus our regular tithes, plus our constant church attendance. I mean, freedom is dangerous. It is an invitation to a free-for-all. Well, Paul wouldn't listen to such talk. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, must always be free of such additions. The Galatians were dead wrong by demanding that Gentile converts also had to be circumcised in order to be real Christians. In Christ, we are free from the law. Trying to put someone back under some law destroys the gospel. It is no longer the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is very different. The gospel declares that Jesus Christ is the friend of lawbreakers, sinners. Jesus became one of us. He who committed no sin, nevertheless, takes upon himself our sin, becomes one, a sinner, goes all the way to the cross, suffers the consequences of that sin, that something every one of us must do, death. And God does it in Christ all for us, for you. And when he was raised from the dead, that mystery became clear. And there it is obvious that God's last word to this sinful and broken world is not the law, but grace and mercy, the good news of the gospel. We are free from the accusations and threats of the law. Jesus, Paul says in Galatians, is the end of the law. The gospel, the good news, tells the story of Jesus in such a way that unconditional value is offered to those who hear it. It's completely different from the law. The law always speaks in conditions, and we know all about conditions, don't we? That if-then kind of talk. The gospel declares something totally different. Instead of if, then, God declares, because therefore, because Jesus died for you, therefore your sins are forgiven, therefore you have new life, therefore you are the apple of God's eye. It is the language of grace and gift. The law says, you got to do this. The gospel announces, God has done this for you. Therefore, you get to do things. And when you believe it, there are no rewards earned, no penalties handed out. There's only gifts offered. You know, when somebody comes up to you and says, what do you have to do to be saved? You get to answer, nothing, because Jesus has saved me. And you get to believe that good news, that Jesus has loved you and forgiven you and set you free. Love is free for all. And when it's believed, life changes. The believer produces what Paul describes in today's second reading as fruits of the Spirit. Now, you all know all about fruit, I think. Perhaps, maybe even some of you have a fruit tree in your yard at home. Now, you do not have to teach a tree to bear fruit. You do not have to lecture it, instruct it, threaten it, bribe it in order to produce fruit. A healthy tree simply produces fruit. It can do nothing else. So also is it for the fruit of the Spirit. Such fruits happen in the lives of those who believe. They are not gottas. They are the expressions of freedom, get-tos. You know, it's like the couple that wins the lottery. They do not go out and bury their millions in the backyard. They get to cash them in. They plan on how they are going to put it to use. It is a get-to. It is a lot like Johnny getting that new bike. You expect him to take it out and ride it. You do not expect Johnny to let it sit in the garage gathering dust. I mean, that'd be a waste of that gift. You want Johnny to be so thrilled with his new gift that riding that bike will not be a burden, no obligation, no have to, but a privilege, an honor, a get to, freedom. But such freedom never comes easily. It is always under attack from our own sinful nature that is always worried about how we are doing, from a world that is always shouting at us, there is no free lunch, from the evil one who always insists that such freedom is an illusion, as he whispers, you've got to do something to prove yourself. And our own perverse logic reasons, what? If this is a free-for-all, then I can go off and do anything I want. And in the midst of such a world, the world becomes a free-for-all and falls apart. A pastor once asked a member of his congregation, you know, how's your relationship with God? And the member responded, well, Pastor, there's not much to tell. I like sinning. God likes forgiving. We get along just fine. Reminds me of those famous lines from W.H. Auden's poem For the Time Being, a Christmas oratorio. And in that poem, very creative retelling of this Christmas story, when King Herod hears from the wise men the news of the Savior's birth, and the free grace and forgiveness that Jesus, the Savior, will bring, he cynically complains, why? Then every crook is going to argue, I like committing crimes, God likes forgiving them. Really, the world is admirably arranged. See, if God's love is free for all, then every sinner can just keep on doing what he or she wants, right? That is exactly what the enemies of Paul's law-free gospel feared. Such freedom is permission for sinners to keep on sinning. I mean, Christianity is nothing more than a good deal. I mean, cheap grace. So what do? We got to clamp down. We got to give them more things to do. We got to make it cost something. Paul holds his ground. He insists they got it all wrong. If there is anything that the gospel of freedom means, it means it is no longer business as usual.
The gospel of freedom calls for change. For when the gospel is believed, the Spirit of God is alive in the hearts of believers, and life changes, and a struggle begins. A conflict ensues. And contrary to those who would have us believe that the Christian life is constantly happy and ever blissful, Paul describes a struggle that will never end until the day we die. The struggle is between that old sinful nature that Paul calls the desires of the flesh and that strange new person in us, the saint, empowered by God's Spirit. Daily, our old nature, the flesh, gets to die. And daily, God sets us free from our slavery to sin and death and the law and the devil. But we always want to go running back to the security of the law, don't we? I remember a fellow I had in one of my new member classes many years ago in a congregation where I was serving. And it got to the final class, and anyone could ask any question they wanted. I thought that this particular guy had paid pretty good attention and understood what I was talking about, but then he asked the revealing question. Pastor, could you tell me this congregation's policy on membership? How many times a year do I have to attend church in order to remain a member in good standing? It was sad. All that time I had spent helping him to hear the gospel and trust its freedom, and yet he wanted to run back to the law. He still believed that it was all about what I have to do. The struggle never ends. But is it not glorious? A glorious struggle? Because in the midst of that struggle, God never gives up. Jesus never stops reminding us that he has come not to create a chaotic free-for-all. He has come to give us something free for all. His amazing grace and mercy. And that changes everything. We are now free not to remain the same old selfish jerks. Now we are free to be different. Instead of always worrying about ourselves, we can be free for all. For all the people in this world who need our love and care. Martin Luther put it well in his famous 1520 essay called The Freedom of the Christian. He said, listen carefully, this is so important. A Christian is a perfectly free lord of all and subject to no one. A Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all and subject to everyone. We are not free to turn, we are free not to turn this world into a free-for-all, but filled with God's Spirit and the gospel of Christ that is truly free-for-all, we can be free-for-all, caring for our neighbors, always looking out for ways to make a difference and set people free. Free with the only freedom that truly matters. Amen.